This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Hashem Yisbarach. We'll discuss the Mishkan. I want to begin with the pasuk, the Atzali Mikdash, B'Shachanti B'Saicham, which is the mitzvah. Kechayil Asher Ani Mara Oyscha, Estavnis Hamishkan, Ve'estavnis Kol Kelov V'Chein Tasu. So it begins with the word Mikdash, and then it says Estavnis Hamishkan. Is it Mikdash? Is it Mishkan? Which one is it? Pasuk clearly, Va'asuli Mikdash, Eistavnis HaMishkan. Do we call it Mikdash? Do we call it Mishkan? The Gemara says, Mikdash Ikri Mishkan, Mishkan Ikri Mikdash. It's true. But Lamaisa, we see that the Torah gives it two names. And we see even more that Lamaisa, the one that we had in the desert, was designated to be called Mishkan. And the one that we, the Bayis that we had in Eretz Yisrael, on the Har HaBayis, was designated to be called Beis HaMikdash. Lamaisa, what this is called, the Mishkan, is called the Beis HaMikdash. Why? What is the difference between Mikdash and Mishkan? Why is this the one in the Midbar called Mishkan, the one in the Eretz Yisrael called Mikdash? If you look at the Arachayim HaKadosh, he already touches on this Shiloh. Is it Mishkan or is it Mikdash? The Pasuk says, Vasuli Mikdash, and then it says, Eistavnis HaMishkan. Which one is it? It seems from the Mefarshim that the Mikdash has a set place. Has a set place, like a bayis. The Mishkan is something which is not set. The difference between Mikdash and Mishkan, Mikdash implies more that there's a home, a house, a place, Mikdash, while Mishkan maybe it's not so much a place, a home, a house. You know, Mitzvah Shem, as we'll explain, the Mikdash might be more a noun, while the Mishkan might be more a verb. Mishkan is more about the Vishachanti, B'Soichai, B'Soicham, while the Mikdash is a set place, and as I will explain. It's interesting, the Ramban in the Hakdamah to Shmois says that Shmois is about Geula. The Chumash of Shmois is Sefer Geula. It's about the redemption. Says the Ramban, so why is it that the Mishkan is in Shmois? Good, we have Shmois. We have Eira Boy, B'Shalach, that's Mitzrayim, that's Yitzias Mitzrayim, B'Shalach, Kriyas Yamsuf, maybe even Kabbalah Satayra, which was supposed to be the condition of why we left Mitzrayim. But why the Mishkan? Why is the Parshias about the Mishkan in Shmois? Says the Ramban, because we were not called redeemed till after the Mishkan. It's true, the Mishkan is Sefer HaGeula, and so at the end of Sefer HaGeula, we have to talk about the Mishkan, because we were not considered Nigalim. We're not considered redeemed till after the Mishkan. Why? Ramban explains, because Geula came only when they chazru, when they returned l'mala savaisa, to the mala of their forefathers Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, that the Rebbeinu Shalom was master his shechina on their tents, that the Rebbeinu Shalom dwelled on their tents. We've spoken about in the past that when Yitzchak brings Rivka into the tent. What does he have? The Anonim come back. The Ner, there was bracha that every Shabbos, L'Shabbos. The Challah, there was bracha. This is all things in the Beis HaMikdash. It's the same as the Beis HaMikdash. There was Ashroas HaShechina on the tent of the forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So when they returned, L'malas Avaisa, when they returned, that the Rebbeinu Shem now is on their oil, rests on their oil like he rested by the Avos, that's Geula. That's called redemption. Why? Why is that the redemption? Why is that called redeemed? So I always understood that the Ramban is saying that Golus was taking away from the way it was. The Avos, they lived in a special high level, Shechina. The Golus carried them away from this. So till they don't return to what was before the Golus, then it's still Golus. If in Hebrew we say the Taitsa'is, if the results of the Golus are still here, the results of the Golus were to that the Rebbeinu Shem was not among the all in the tents, so as long as they don't return to that first state, they're still considered we're in Golus. But the truth is a little bit deeper, Rabbi Isai. And I want to point out something very interesting. When it says Ahay Aleihem, it doesn't only mean Ahay Aleihem, the tent. It means living. B'shachanti B'soicham, we know, doesn't mean B'soich, the Mishkan, but it actually means B'soicham, in them. B'soicham, which means Rabbeinu Shalom is resting among Klal Yisrael. And there's an interesting Mizrahi in the beginning of Parshas Hazinu. The Mizrahi says a chiddush. You know, in the Beis Hamikdash as well as the Mishkan, you were able to say the Shem HaMefayush. As a matter of fact, in Sefer Ber Mayim Chayim, it's brought down that that's the pshat, the Asu Li Mikdash, Li Lishmi. What does Li Lishmi mean? So the Mefarshim discuss a special din of Lishma. Ber Mayim Chaim explains, Li, Lishmi, because only there you could say my name. My 72-letter name can only be said in the Beis HaMikdash. So V'asu Li Mikdash, Li, doesn't mean Lishmi, Lishma. Lishmi, literally for my name. Like this, you could say my 72-letter name. Says the Mizrahi, an interesting chiddush, that when Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah, not even in the Mishkan, whenever Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah, he taught it with the 72 letters Shem Hashem. Why? Because the Rebbeinu Shem was resting on Klal Yisrael. The entire Klal Yisrael turned into a Mishkan. The entire Klal Yisrael turned into a Mishkan. Not only the Mishkan, but actually V'shachanti B'soichem, literally, the whole camp of Klal Yisrael turned into a Mishkan. And so Moshe Rabbeinu was able to say the Shem HaMefayrish everywhere and anywhere. So the idea is not even the Ahalim, it's not even the tents. It means everywhere in Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, where they dwelled, on them, was Shechina. To the point that it turned into a Mishkan. The encampment of Klal Yisrael turned into a Mishkan that you were able to say the 72-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now let's understand the greatness of this point of Mishkan. And then we can go back to see the difference between the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. Why this is called Mishkan and this is called Mikdash. We're addressing the Shaila. Why is this called Mishkan while this is called Mikdash? And we said because Mishkan is not exclusive to a home, to a bayis, to a place, while Beis HaMikdash is. And we're going to explain that. Because the truth is, Mishkan is not unique to the building, it's more about Klal Yisrael. It's more about the Rabbeinu Shalom resting among Klal Yisrael. And I want to point out something very interesting. The Mishkan never got destroyed. The Mishkan got buried in the ground. Never got destroyed. The Beis HaMikdash got destroyed twice. The Gemara seems to say that it has to do with the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan. And what Moshe builds can't become destroyed. That's why it says Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael, because if he would go to Eretz Yisrael, he would build the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash wouldn't get destroyed, and then Hashem would have to destroy Klal Yisrael in punishment for their Averis. What Moshe did was Kayim La'ad. Moshe's Torah, Torah's Kayim La'ad. Other Midrashim seem to say it has to do with the fact that Yaakov Avinu, Atzi Shittim, that the Atzi Shittim came from Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov planted them Lishma. He planted them Lishma for the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it can't get destroyed. So these are two reasons why he planted it for the Mishkan, and therefore the Mishkan can't get destroyed while the Beis HaMikdash could. We're discussing the difference between the Mishkan and the Mikdash. Why is one called Mishkan? Why is one called Mikdash? And we're pointing out that Mishkan maybe is more about the Veshachanti, while the Mikdash is Kedusha of the Bayis. It's more an external, it's about the house of the Beis HaMikdash. And in that house there was Ashras HaShechina, true. And we point out that you see that the whole Klal Yisrael, the encampment of Klal Yisrael, turned into a Mishkan. To the point that the Mizrahi says that the Shem HaMefayrish, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to say when he taught Torah, because the whole encampment turned into a Mishkan. Why is it then that the Beis HaMikdash gets destroyed and the Mishkan's not? So we say from the Midrashim, either because that's the Moshe Rabbeinu building the Mishkan, or because Yaakov Avinu planted the trees when he brought them to Mitzrayim, Lishma, he brought for the Mishkan, and therefore that Lishma can never get destroyed. Or maybe we could say even deeper. The concept of a Shachanti B'Soicham and not in the house could never get destroyed. The idea that the Rabbeinu Shloilem rests among Klal Yisrael, that doesn't get, it might get hidden, it might get sunk into the ground, it might be not visible, it might be lost somewhere deep where it has to be dug up, so to speak, to see it, to find it, but it's there. The home, the bias of the that could get destroyed. And the truth is, I think that's the last pasuk in the parsha, in the Haftarah. In Haftarah of Parshas Truma, Hashem Narsan Chachma L'Shloima, we end with this pasuk: V'shachanti b'soich b'nei Yisrael, v'loy ezoiv es ami Yisrael. I will never leave my nation. So the V'shachanti means that I am with you, and that can't get lost forever. That can't get destroyed. The bias could get destroyed. But the Ashras HaShechina B'Yisrael, the connection that a Yid has with the Rabbeinu Shloim, that will never, ever stop. And that's why I believe, maybe a third pshat, like I said, the Midrashim is masculine, it has to do with Moshe Rabbeinu, or it has to do with Yaakov Avinu. I'd like to offer this new pshat, that it has to do with the concept of the Mishkan. That since the Mishkan is about V'shachanti B'Soicham, it's strictly and only all about the connection with the Eibishter, that can never cease. It might get buried. There'll be tkufis and galus that it might get lost, but it's there. Gone and destroyed, not hidden, buried, not in concealment, maybe, but not buried, not destroyed, not broken. Beis HaMikdash could get broken. There's an interesting medrash in the beginning of the parsha. V'yikhu li truma. What does it mean, v'yikhu li truma? Take me? What is li? You take me? So that means to me. The Medrash says it means actually me. Take me with you. Parshat Shat Li means Li, to me. Medrash says Li, take me. Pshat. Says the Medrash, it's an example, Lamelech Shehayulei Bas Yechida, he had one only daughter. And a knight came and married the daughter, and he's ready to take away the daughter. So the king says, what do I do? I miss the daughter. To tell you, you can't take her, it's your wife, so I can't. He's leaving, he's going away. So I tell you that wherever you go, make for me a small little room, a kitain, like a little closet, and I'll be in that closet, wherever you go. And the Mefarshim pondered pshat in this medrash. What does this medrash mean? What does it want? What is it referring to, this room, this closet? So many achrayim, many Mefarshim explain, it's referring to galus, in the time of galus, like the lashon of the Chazal is, that the daughter is ready to be taken away lemerchakim. Here. It's going away far. Here. Which means it's going away. It's going far away. And now that it's going far away, in galus, so to speak, the Rabbi Yishim is saying, I still want to be connected. So make me a room. What is the room referring to? So some of Farshim learns referring to the Beis Knesses. You don't have a Beis HaMikdash. You're in galus. Stay connected through the Mikdash Ma'at, the small Beis HaMikdash. And that's what it means, make for me a place that I could live, that I could stay, a small little room. Other Mefarshim learn that the Kitain is referring to within the heart of the Yid himself. Kitain is a small little chamber, so to speak. Small little room. A chamber of the heart. Kitain, make for me within your heart room, that wherever you go in Gullus, no matter how far you who knows where and when and what, make room, because the Vishachanti B'Seichai will always be there. The Rebbe Yishon wants to stay connected, and this is the Indian of Yikuli Truma, take me with you. It's not only building a Mishkan, it's taking the Eibishter with you, in you. That's the mashal of the Melech. He wants to be connected, and they're taking away far, lemerchakim, to the land where the knight lives. We're not in the Beis HaMikdash. We're not in Eretz Yisrael. We're not in Yerushalayim. But take me with you. How? By making me a small little place. And what's that little place? Either the Beis Knesses, or even more, maybe the inside, in the chamber. And that's the connection of Mishkan. To take the Eibishter with you where you go. With this, I want to say over a pshat, the Belzer Rebbe Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Beautiful, 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 beautiful pshat. Really, classic. Atzei Shita Maimti. What are the pillars? The pillars in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, excuse me, were made from Atzei Shita Maimti, standing. Says the Gemara, what do you mean, Maimti, standing? So the Gemara says three pshatim. One pshat is oimdim, that they have to stand. Which means they go from the bottom to the top. So what does oimdim mean? So either oimdim means, like every mitzvah you do, says the Gemara, you do it kiderech amidasai, the way it's created. For example, lulav, you can't take it upside down. You have to take it the way it grows from the ground. That's called oimdim, straight. So the Atzei Shitim also were oimdim. Means they weren't piled like this, horizontally, but straight. Right? What is it, vertically or horizontal?
Vertical is...
So, so they're not horizontal, but they're vertical. Right? Straight. A second pshat, says the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Nun Beis, that it means oimdim, that when you put the tzipui, it has to be attached to the wood, the cover of gold that you put had to be oindim attached to it. A third pshat, says the Gemara, oindim. Says the Gemara, Klal Yisrael was thinking, maybe after the Mishkan there's no hope. Who knows how long the Mishkan's going to stay for. Ava techaltam, says the Gemara. Sivram, they were thinking their hope, their whole looking forward to the Mishkan, maybe it's going to end soon. Oimdim lad lo meilam, last forever. Atzi shitim, when they put it up, they were told, oimdim, that it'll last forever. Ask the Belz Rebbe a nice question. Why, when they were putting up the Mishkan, were they afraid that they're going to lose the Mishkan? Why should they be afraid? After the Mishkan, there was another Mishkan, and after that Mishkan, there was Beis HaMikdash, and after that, there was another Beis HaMikdash. Why now, when the Mishkan was being put up, are they saying, oh, maybe the Mishkan's not going to be for a long time, and we feel terrible? Yeah, but after the Mishkan, there's bigger. There's a Beis HaMikdash. You hear the question? Brilliant question. Beautiful. The Gemara is saying that Klal Yisrael need to be Mephayis. Klal Yisrael had to be given a chizuk. Don't worry about the Mishkan, that what? You can have it only for a few years. Oimdim la'ad. Amudim. They're standing forever. That's Atzi Shita Oimdim. She says, why would they feel so bad that the Mishkan's not forever? If after the Mishkan, you still had another Mishkan, they had another Beis HaMikdash. Answers the Belz Rebbe, like the Mishkan in the Midbar, that you will never have even with the Beis HaMikdash. What the Mishkan in the Midbar stood for, we didn't have in the Beis HaMikdash. In many ways, he says, the Mishkan stood for more love of Klal Yisrael than the Beis HaMikdash. Even though the Beis HaMikdash is Teichei Ratzav Ahava, tremendous love for Klal, no, this is even more. And this Klal Yisrael saying, how do we know how long it's going to last? The Mishkan is very, it's not for long. And the answer is, yes it is. It's this, different than the Beis HaMikdash. This will be forever. This will remain forever. Explains the Belzer Rebbe, what's so special about the Mishkan? The Mishkan showed tremendous love that the Eibus, I have to be connected to you. You know that the Mishkan was in the Midbar. Was the Midbar a place that was fit for the Mishkan? The Pasuk calls the Midbar. The Pasuk says about the Midbar, the Lashon of the Pasuk in Yecheskel. It calls the Midbar. Oh. Artzois Midbar Ha'amim. A Pasuk in Yecheskel, it's called Midbar of the Nations. So Pashup Shad is because the Midbar belongs to all the nations, right? Nobody can claim a Midbar, even though today they do fight over this desert and that desert. And Iraq with Kuwait. This is my piece of the desert. This is my piece of the desert. Desert officially is everyone's. It's no man's land. In English, they call it no man's land. That's what it means. Midbar Ha'amim. It belongs to everyone, all the nations.
Yeah, but they fought over the wells.
Rashi. Rashi, Midbar Lamidalid Gimel, says a different shot. Why it's called. Yeah, why it's called Midbar Amim. I'm sorry, that Rashi says it's because it belongs to all the nations. The Svarim bring down what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says the Chachamim Gazru Tuma Al Avir Eretz Amim. That the there is Tuma on what belongs to the nations, Eretz Amim. So what was the Midbar then? The Midbar also had Tuma. And still the Rabbi Yishlam Rebbe. It's not a chiddush, says Belzer Rebbe, that the Rabbi Yishlam was master his Shechina in the Beis HaMikdash, on the Har Abayis. Har Abayis is the peak of the world. It's holy, it's heilig, it's beautiful. The center of the world. How about the Midbar? That wasn't the center of the world. That's the low part of the world. As a matter of fact, it even is Tameh. Tumah, there's Tumah Zeret Tameh on it. And still the Rabbi Yishlam was master his Shechina there. That was special about the Mishkan. And then he says another point, what's special about the Mishkan. The Mishkan wasn't a set place. Any place that they put it up, that's where it was. Wherever the Yid went, and he put it up, that's where it was. That, he says, shows tremendous dveikus that the Yid is connected with the Rebbein. Rebbein Yishim says, I'm going to go with you to the Midbar. No matter where you travel, no matter where you go, put me up, I'll be there. You know, they say often the Katz Rebbe, and he said when he was a young boy, they asked him, where is Hashem? So we know that kids point upwards, right? And then there's a song, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is everywhere. Not only up, down, and everywhere, right? Kids used to point up. Now we teach them to point up, down, all around, and everywhere. And they dance to the tune of up, down, and everywhere, right? But Katzke Rebbe said, you know where Hashem is? Wherever you let Him in. Wherever you let Hashem in, that's where He goes. You know what the Mishkan was? Wherever you put up a place for Him, that's where He is. Could you imagine the king? Where's his palace? You know what? Let's put it up over there. Good. I'm coming there. That's my palace. Beis HaMikdash was a palace. It has a location. It has a place. The Mishkan, it's an Eretz Amim. It's not even a country that belongs to Klal Yisrael. It's in the Midbar. It's Tamei. It's wherever they put him up. Here, today, you know, today I'm here. You know, tomorrow my palace will be over there. And in 3 days my palace might be to the left, to the right, or maybe to the That shows tremendous love for Klal Yisrael. And this is what Klal Yisrael was grappling with. They were in fear. Maybe after the Mishkan we won't have this. That the Rabbi Yisrael will be with us wherever, whenever, and whatever. Says the Rabbi Yisrael, Atzi Shitim Oimdim. Oimdim La'ad. That wherever you go, and wherever you stand, if you want to be connected with me, I'll be there. Like it says, this is what I end again, the lashon of the pasuk. V'shachanti b'sevinei v'le'ezay v'sami Yisrael. I'll never leave you alone. That's Mishkan. Mishkan is the verb. There's almost no place to the Mishkan. Beis HaMikdash is a place. It's a bias. It has a location. And that could be charif. Mishkan, which is really a verb that the Abish is with you. That point of... There is no Mishkan. What is Mishkan? Mishkan is wherever I set up that the Abish should be there. Beis HaMikdash is a location. It's a place. It exists. Mishkan almost doesn't exist. All it is where I make a hechatimtza. I give it an ability for Hashem to come. He comes. He's there. Mishkan is to rest, to dwell. So therefore the Mishkan was what he had in the Midbar. And that doesn't get lost, meaning destroyed. It can get sunk into the ground. And we have to sometimes dig deep to get it and to revive it. It's in the ground and we might have to revive it. But it's there. The inyan of Le'ezer V'sami V'shachanti B'Seichel. That's called Mishkan. Mikdash is the Beis HaMikdash. The home, the place, the location, the Cheftza, the physical, the building. Mishkan is the verb that the Abish is with us. Now it's with a Mishkan, it's with a building. But that building just brings out that Hashem is going to be with us. So He'll be with us in the building, which can be put up and down in the same day. It could be with us, within us. It could be in our tents, in our homes. It could be in the whole encampment of Klal Yisrael. That's Mishkan. Ramesha, Shiva, Ramesha Feinstein, Zechatadik Levrach, Shiva Zatzal, in his Sefer Darash Mesh explains, Shabbos doesn't get pushed off for the Binyan HaMishkan. Doesn't get pushed off. not for the Mishkan, not for the Mikdash. Hilchas Shabbos takes precedence over Binyan HaMikdash. Why? Mikdash, it's so important. Explains Rosh Hashiva Zatzal, Ramayshim, that the Beis HaMikdash we could be without, and which is what I'm explaining to you. We could actually be without a Beis HaMikdash. We've lived without a Beis HaMikdash. But we can't be without Shabbos. Shabbos is more, takes precedence over Beis HaMikdash, because Shabbos is the way the Yid lives with the Eibishter. Why do you think, huh? So beautiful. I don't need the home. I don't need the Beis HaMikdash. We could be without a Beis HaMikdash. I don't need the Chavtza. I need the Eibishter. You know, I once gave a marshal. Yeah. I once saw a husband and wife. They were fighting. Yeah. And they were trying to, you know, the wife was trying to say, you know, I want the marriage to work. I want, you know, I want you to love me. And he keeps on screaming back to her, what do you want? I bought you houses and I get you cars. You have a life. And she keeps on screaming back, but I don't want the cars. I don't want the houses. I want you. I thought to myself, that's what Klal Yisrael says, the same thing. I don't need the house. The Eibishter is saying, I don't need my house. I need you, the Eibishter. I want you. And if I want you, I can have it without the house. It could be even without a house, as long as I have you. Mishkan is you. Beis HaMikdash is the house. Rabbeinu Shlomo, I don't need the house to survive. But I need you. And this David's the promises, it will never, never go away. I will never leave my people alone. With this, Rabbi Sai, I think we could explain something beautiful. I saw the Shach Alateira says something very interesting. Why did we get the Mishkan? Because of the Egel. So Shailif was before the Egel. After, most learned it was after the Egel. He says, could you imagine if doing the Egel gave us a Mishkan? Can you imagine doing something good what will bring us? I couldn't get over the understanding of it. Doing an egel brings me a mishkan. Could you imagine doing something good? The point is, Rabbi Yisai, the mishkan was to tell you, egel, I'm not angry after the egel. I'm connected with you after the egel. The idea of the Mishkan was Lo'ezav Isami, I will never leave you alone. No matter what you do, and no matter what happens, I will always be there. That's Mishkan. And that has nothing to do with the building. That has to do with the Eibishter. And you should know, Rabbi, so we don't have a Mishkan today, and we don't have a Beis HaMikdash today, but yet we could live as if. And that's the point I'm trying to bring out. And this is the mitzvah to live this way. And I'll explain to you what I mean. If you look at the pasuk says, "Kitamnis kechelash ani mara oischa is tamnis hamishkan veis tamnis kol kelov v'chein tasu." So the mefarshim ask, "What is the v'chein tasu?" So Rashi explains. Because it's extra, it should say, it says you should do it. Why do you have to repeat v'chein tasu? So Rashi explains that it means that in case one of the kelim get lost throughout the years, you have to replace it. V'chein tasu, to replace it later. The Ksav Sofer says a beautiful pshat. He says the truth is if it was going back on the Mishkan, it should have said v'chein tasu. What's vih? Vih means and also you should do. Why the vav? Vichain. And also you should do. Says the Ksav Sofer, you know, the Mishkan has a lot of lessons, has a lot of reasons behind in the Mishkan what, why this is like this, and why lessons in Avodas Hashem, how to live. V'chein tasu, you should also do it. It's not only just to build a Mishkan. A person thinks he'll build a Mishkan and it's good enough. He comes to shul, he gives money to the shul. I don't care about the shul. It's about your life. It's about me and you, and the Rebbe Hashem says, I want to connect with you. V'chein tasu. K'chayil Hashem imar o'yisra, with all the pratim, with all the details in the Mishkan, it's not just to do the Mishkan. V'chein tasu, in your life you should do it. Mishkan is about how to live, like I spoke to you above, like I said, oh, from the Rosh Hashiva. It's about how to live with the Eibishter. It's not only about building a house. K'chayil Hashem imar o'yisra, it's time to say, you know me, you're a Muslim, and the full, the swarma full explaining why the shulchan and the menorah and the tzitz. And so a person gives a few dollars, okay, I built the Mishkan. No, v'chein tasu. Should live that way. Everything that's in the Mishkan, do it in your life. Because Mishkan is not about the bias of the Mishkan, but it's about the life of Klal Yisrael together with the Eibishter. And also, you should do. Someone will ask, yeah, but it's very difficult. It's very difficult to do. How do we do? There's so much lessons, there's so much in the Mishkan. Why? Who can do it all? How does a person do all this? So first of all, we have to start the Yisayit of the Mishkan. What is the Yisayit of the Mishkan? Svarim write, Achdus was the Yisayit of the Mishkan. The idea of the Mishkan was that Klal Yisrael should come together in a project like this. It unites. How do you unite people in a cause? A cause unites people. So when they give for the Eibishter to build the Mishkan, and you saw that they all taka came. The Mefarshim, Gedal Yeshua brings this down. The lashon of the pasuk is that you do the whole Mishkan, v'hoyu ha-mishkan le'echad. The Mishkan will be for one. Yeah. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Peri Chavah, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Sisa Kas, and the Chayshis, you put the Kursayim below Lois, v'chibartes ha-oyul, v'hoyu echad. What is v'hoyu echad? By putting it together, it turns into one. There's a beautiful Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer explains that the Mishkan, we know, couldn't stand. As a matter of fact, we learned that Moshe Rabbeinu put it up and kept on falling. The measurements, it couldn't stand. Why? It had one bar across, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to hold up the weight of the Mishkan. Ask the Chassam Sofer, so why don't we put more bars? Why don't we make it? I mean, why didn't the Eibishter make it in Seim Chanal Anes that it should be able to stand? I mean, make an architecture that it should be able here. I know in my house, in my shul, where they, there was a question about a beam, where they put the beam, one beam, two beams. So they were able to figure out how they could put one beam and hold up the whole shul. And if they couldn't, so they said they would put two beams. It's not that genius to figure out if it can't stand with one, then let it stand with two. And the answer is, says the Chassam Sofer, that the Rebbe Hashem is teaching us a lesson. How did they work these karsei nechayshes? The chibartes ha'oyel, right? That they put them in through latches. Says the Chassam Sofer, this was a remez that when Klal Yisrael unites one into the other, connects one to the other, then you don't need anything to hold them up. It will stand. Because the Eibishter will make them stand. When there's Achdus, they'll stand together. Achdus, Krashim, they stand together. When you put them one to one, like the Lashon of the Pasuk is, V'chibarta, right? V'hoya ha'oyel echad. It all turns into one. When it Klal Yisrael unites to turn into one, they're not going to collapse. It will stand. It will all stand. The idea of the Mishkan is Achdus. Because Ashroas Hashchina needs Achdus. So if we want to talk about a Mishkan, and we want to talk about that the Mishkan is V'shachanti B'Seicham, it needs that there should be Achdus. And you'll see this, that whenever Klal Yisrael unites, you'll see tremendous Hashroas Hashchina, tremendous Kiddush Shem Shamayim, because there's Hashroas Hashchina when Klal Yisrael unites. So on the simplest level, the Mishkan is supposed to teach us life, Hashroas Hashchina, through Achdus and Klal Yisrael. How about the details? The more difficult lessons. You think it's so easy to all the lessons of the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan and to live that way, B'Kedusha, B'Tahira. How could you do that? How does one achieve that? So I'd like to tell you over two tzaddikim that spoke the same concept. One is the Chassam Sofer and one is the Bnei Yisachar. The Chassam Sofer says that if you look at this pasuk that we quoted before, Kein Tasu, B'Kein Tasu, is the ingredient. It's the secret on how to keep everything that was in the Mikdash. And that is, he says, it's Yidua that when a Yid, a Jew, connects to the Eibishter, him and the Rabbeinu Shlom unite to such an extent that the Rabbeinu Shlom does with him everything. The Yid does, the Yid is doing, but the Rabbeinu Shlom is mishtatif in the pe'ula, becomes a partner in the actions of the person, and therefore he's capable of doing unbelievably big things. He says that's the pshat in the pasuk. V'shachanti b'soicham, make a mikdash, I'll dwell with you. Therefore, kechayla shni mara oischa, everything I show you, eis tamnis hamishkan v'chein tash, you'll be able to do it. Because Chassam Sofer says he doesn't understand. If Hashem was the architect for the things in the Mishkan, how could any human being do it? Could any human being recreate what the Eibishter created? Could we make life? No. Why? Because if the Eibishter created life, no one could have. You could clone and this and Hakachinik with test tubes. It's not what the Eibishter, right? If the Eibishter is the architect, man can't duplicate it. Correct? Okay. As a matter of fact, right? We know that in Bezalel, what was his greatness? He knew the Oisius Shebehem Nivra Shamayim Laretz. Why was it needed? Because you think the Klei HaMikdash was simple? The Klei HaMikdash was architected by an architect who created the world. It was deep. It was so much in every detail. Says the Chassam Sofer, how are we able to reduplicate that? And the answer is, V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'saychem. I will be with you to the point that I become a shutif. I'm there to help you. And therefore, Kein Tasi, you'll be able to do it. Otherwise, you won't be able to do it. It's Ma'idin Chassam Sofer, obviously. Again, let's repeat over the Chassam Sofer. We're telling you on your side that what is Mishkan? Mishkan doesn't mean the home, the building. You know, you pass by, you know, to Brooklyn, you see big buildings, they're all vacant, all empty. Big, huge buildings, nothing in it, empty. I don't think anybody even goes there. It's not about buildings. It's about life, Mishkan. V'chein tasu, don't just build a Mishkan, live it. Okay, how do you live it? So I'm telling you, the aside of the Mishkan was Achdus, so that we can understand. Achdus, Reyus. Good. But how about the details? The Mishkan and the Menorah and the Shulchan. There's so much, so much. Who could do it all? So I'm giving you a formula that the Chassam Sofer says the Mishkan teaches me this formula. How are we able to build a Mishkan? You could redo what the Eibishter did. You could create a Menorah. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't make the Menorah. You know why? Because the Eibishter was the architect of the Menorah. So how do you expect? And the answer is because the Eibishter is going to do it with you. That's what the Chassam Sofer is trying to teach me. That if you're connected to the Rabbeinu Shloilam, you should know that the Rabbeinu Shloilam becomes almost like a shutif. He becomes partners. And that's what it means. V'shachanti b'soicham. And therefore, k'chayla shani maro ischa. Has tam this ha-mishkan. Kein tasu, you'll be able to do it. Otherwise, you won't be able to do it. I like to say over a lot what I saw when I grew up. You know, my Zaydi shul was a lot of older Jews. Between me and them, the age difference was very... I had no peers in my Zaydi shul. They were older people, but I learned a lot from them. There was a Yid, Mr. Ziegler, Zecharino Levracha, very special Yid. He had a stroke when he was a young person. Yet he never, ever missed a minyan. He was paralyzed half his body. Never missed a minyan. He would climb up that hill, you know, to my Zaydi shul, that big hill. It would take him sometimes an hour. He would set out at 5 o'clock in the morning to get to a 6 o'clock minyan. And he would come in the snow. Even when it was snowing, he would drag the leg. He was paralyzed. He would drag the leg. And he would come. He couldn't even breathe. Never missed. Never, ever missed. Never, ever. Shachris, mincha, mayr, never missed. And I always wondered, how? How does one have the kayach to do it? How? It doesn't make sense. How do Gedolei Yisrael have time to learn so much? And yet do so much chesed. There's not enough hours in the day for everything. And you know what the answer is? V'chein tasu. That when you're connected with the Eibishter, the Eibishter is there with you. The Eibishter helps you in the pe'ula. That's what the Chassam Sofer is saying. That the Eibishter, if you want to live with the Eibishter, the Eibishter is going to be there to help you. The Eibishter is going to be there to help you. The Eibishter is going to be there. And you'll be able to do supernatural things that you couldn't do without the Rabbeinu Shlomo. That's v'chein, the mile of the Mishkan was v'shachanti b'soicha, that he connected to the Eibishter, that he therefore was able to make a Mishkan. The wanting to be v'shachanti b'soicha gave the Jew the capability that with his hands he was able to be v'shachanti b'soicha, to do it, to create such a thing. Here. Tell you all about maybe the thing. Lamaisa. What are we supposed to do? So what's Lamaisa? How do we say, I want to connect to the Eibishter, and therefore the Eibishter will help me. And I think the pshat is, V'yikhu li lishmi. What's V'yikhu li lishmi? So before I just get to the lishma part of it, there's a Meirdik in B'nai Yisrael. I tell you, B'nai Yisrael seems to say the same daher, same idea. The Zohar writes, in the beginning of Parashas Truma, Klal Yisrael and the Rebbeinu Shem connect as one. Look, he says. Look how Klal Yisrael and the Rebbeinu Shem connect as one. Says the B'nai Yisrael, what does the Zohar want? So Pashat, I always understood the Zohar means, V'shachanti b'soicham, that they be the, right? And they connect. B'nai Yisrael says that the Zohar is trying to answer a question. How could it be V'yikhuli? It should have said V'yitnuli. Famous question. They all ask this question. It should have said V'yitnu. Not I'll take, but you give. Says the B'nai Yisrael, the Medrash is trying to say, the Zohar is trying to say that the Yid and the Rebbeinu Shem connect in such a way that they become one. So the V'yitnu is the V'yikhu. The Rebbeinu Shloilam is saying that when you take, you give. When you give, you take. V'yitnu. Because the Rebbeinu Shloilam is there already with you in the V'yitnu. Very deep. Beautiful. B'nei Yisrael. That's what the Medrash means, that Hashem and the person become one. So the minute you v'yitnu, it automatically means as if the Rabbeinu Shem is taking it. He's there with you already. V'yikhu. That's this chsam sefer, Rabbi say. That the person connects with the Rabbeinu Shleilam, and he helps you, and he's there with you. And that's v'yikhu li truma, that the Eibishter is with you. And he's there to help you build. A person wants to do avodas Hashem, a person wants to learn. The Rabbeinu Shem is there with you. If you want, and you let him in, and you want the v'shachanti b'seichem, the Rabbeinu Shem helps you beyond your capabilities. The Rabbeinu Shem connects with you as if shutif, like the Chasam Sofer says, shutif in the ma'isa. I believe that how does one achieve that? When you do it lishma. V'yikhu li, says Rashi, li lishmi. And they all ask, why over here is the din lishma more? And the answer is mikdash, right? Li lishmi, it's more, right? Beis hamikdash needs more, nedivas halev. And since it needs nedivas halev, it has to be done lishma, because it really needs the heart. Okay. I would like to tie to the previous thing that we just spoke and say that how could one achieve all this? He needs help from Hashem. He needs that the Eibishter should come and help him build this Mishkan. And the answer is, if you do it Lishmi, you connect with me. You do it Lishma, I'm going to be there to help you do it. You do for me and I'll be there for you to help you do it. That's Pshat Li Lishmi. V'yikhu Li, you do it for me. Li Lishmi, for me. And then I come and I help you because you want me to be there with you. And I believe that this is meduyik very much in the L'shem Yichud. Every time we do a mitzvah, we say L'shem Yichud. You know what we say? L'shem Yichud Kud Shebrichu. Shechinta B'dechil Liyachei Shem Yudkei B'vavkei. Right? So we're saying L'shem for the name of Hashem. And what do we say at the end? That it should be Ki'ilu Kamtia B'chol Proteha, as if I did it with all its details. And then we say, what is that? That's when Moshe built the Mishkan. He gave this bracha that the Eibishter should be there. The Eibishter should guide us in the action. So if you do it l'shem, if you do it for the Eibishter, then the Eibishter is kind enough. The Eibishter helps you to do it complete, because otherwise no person can do a mitzvah to its complete form. The mitzvahs are unbelievable. Every detail, it's min hashamayim, the Rabbeinu Shalom's creation, Torah. Who could achieve, be mekayim, what the Eibishter said, kilchasa? Who could actually achieve, be mekayim? It's unbelievable, the Eibishter, the Torah. It's ain't soif, there's no end. So what are we doing already? A little bit. And the answer is, if you do it l'shem Hashem, the Eibishter is there to help us. And that's why V'yikhu Li has to be Lashmi. Otherwise, you couldn't build a Mishkan. It couldn't be such a thing. Because it's a creation created by the Rabbeinu Shlom of Mishkan. The power and the kayach and the wisdom to be able to build a Mishkan needs that you need the Eibishter with there with you. And therefore, li lishmi. When you do it l'shem Hashem, the Rabbeinu Shem says, you bring me into the ma'isa, v'shachanti b'soicham, you bring me into your actions, then v'inayam Hashem aleinu, nayam Hashem aleinu, the beauty of Hashem will rest on us, u'ma'isi adeinu, then our actions will be kainenehu. That whole idea of l'shem yichud. And that's in everything in life. If you bring the Rabbeinu Shleilam into your life, you could live a life of v'shachanti b'soicham, no matter where and what, no matter how far you're lost, no matter what place you're lost in, no matter how deep you are in the gullus, midbar amin, all you have to do is set up, Rabbeinu Shleilam, I'm trying, I want to put up a mishkan, I want. You have to want. And the minute you want, Rabbi Yishlam says, I'll help you build that Mishkan. And that's L'ol Me'ad, or L'ol Me'olamim. That stands forever and ever and ever. And that's the chiluk between the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.